Hi everyone, this is Marsha, and I'm the director and founder of the Brooklyn Caribbean Literary Festival. I'm thrilled and elated to announce the birth and launch of our brand new podcast, CocoaPod. Consider the aromatic CocoaPod and how, after carefully ripening under the Caribbean sun, it generously offers up its rich fruit in due season. CocoaPod by BCLF aims to provide a similar delight. Each episode is a seed, a nugget of an original Caribbean story told in the voice of its writer. Each story, an infinite gift by the offshoot of an ancient griot tradition. As a whole, Caribbean stories are like a mighty tree whose branches extend, offering shade and comfort wherever her children settle. From my team and the legion of Caribbean writers behind us, we bring to you the warmest of welcomes.
My name is Sharma Taylor. I'm from Jamaica. I am an award-winning writer, but most of all, I just want to be known as a good storyteller. I just want to be known as someone who renders my characters' voices truthfully. I'm going to read today from my debut novel called What a Mother's Love Don't Teach You, and it is published by Virago Press in the UK. It will be published across the UK and the Commonwealth July 7, 2022. And just to set some context, it's told through various perspectives, including Dinah, who is a helper who in Jamaica, same as a housemaid, who gave up her son in an informal adoption to her former employers 18 years before. And, you know, 18 years later, she's now come across someone who she believes to be her baby son. So I'll begin by reading. I wake up this morning like me moving underwater that too green. Something me can't see sitting on top of me, weighing me down. Me nearly knock over the enamel cup on the side table next to the mattress. The same mattress that sag in the middle like an old donkey with a brought back. The little room where me live in for the past 20 years all of a sudden seems strange. Like me turned duppy. Lost in a somebody else's nightmare. It's like the Lord God Almighty himself take him giant hand and lift me up in the night and rest me down on a different woman bed. Mama snores like them coming from a distance, though her breath hot on my neck back. I roll out of bed on the left side. The mattress jerk and wait, Mama. I watch her watching me and looking round the room trying to figure out who me is and where she is. I don't say nothing but a soft morning and squeeze her shoulder before me get up and leave the room. Me barely notice the brown and green floral wallpaper in the hallway peeling off where the pitney them who come to the yard grab it. I butt me toe on an old hammerhead that push against the wall. A roach creeping at the corner of the green rug that smell like rat piss when it wet. Termites feed on the carcass of the cabinet. Me open it and take out my teacup. Feel like it take more than an hour to make the cup of Milo tea in the kitchen we share with the rest of the tenement yard. My head is on a low fire. Let me lay, let me hold. Mama chanting now. Her brain work like a mashup bicycle. Sometimes the chain break off and spin her backwards to our days as a Pokemania member, when she and the others sing around the colored flagpole in the poker yard. It's the only picture me have of her, a Polaroid she get from one American student studying what him call Afro-Caribbean religion. In it, she have her long hair packed up tight under a white scarf with a pencil sticking out from the tie beside her ear, and this red woman look regal. Her bauxite dirt skin make me think she descend from maroons, them who breed with tenors in the hills, or she could be the pitney of a drunk immigrant who rot with a black woman in the bush. She tell me my father been midnight black, which is why me look like tar. She never talk about him. Sometimes at night she tell me about the days in St. Mary when she was young and pretty and life had promise. She cries sometimes when she see the picture of herself on the nightstand, asking me who that was and when she did dead. Her long fingers searched the hills and valleys of my face in the dim light, as if me hiding truth from the cobweb veins under her skin. She never asked me about the empty picture frame right beside it that's supposed to hold Son's photograph. After making the Milo tea, I tell Mr. McKenzie, in room next door to me, don't forget to lock the gate with the padlock when him come home on lunch break from the garage. Most days the gate wide open. Last week, Mama walked straight through all the way to 3 miles and then Kingston Harbour. If a postman never see her standing there swinging her arms like a fast bowler, she'd have leaping and drown. He'd bring her back home on his bike. But Mr. Matt don't hear me, or him don't care to. Him suspect that him worthless 18-year-old girlfriend, Regina, sleeping with the plumber downstairs who lives beside Mrs. Sinclair and her boys. Mrs. Sinclair is a squeaky-voiced dressmaker who mainly keep to herself. Her boys spend more time outside the yard than inside it. Mr. Mac's eyes already move from me to the clothesline, where Regina, in her shorts, batted cheeks on display for all to see, pinning up him once white marina she destroyed during the washing. Most days, Mr. Mac's face set like a cloud passing over it. In her room, although she can't see me, Mama yelling, "Dinah, Dinah, Dinah! Don't look so, girl. Fix your face." I bathe her with water from the pan near the bed, empty her chimney in the pit latrine, and go to the standpipe to catch water to wash my private parts. Although the house have pipes, they're real old and sometimes the plumbing give problem. Is that every day the water have to decide if it want to come inside. And if it come, sometimes it run clear. Other times it brown and rusty looking, so you have to boil it good before you drink it. I greet Damien, him outside singing, stark naked, bathing with water from the standpipe. We know him from him was 5 and him is 18 now. I watch him soapy, dark muscles and the suds he's scrubbing between him legs and I feel like someone tickling me between my thighs. Merciful Savior, Heavenly Father, me say under my breath, I stumble with the pan. Morning, Miss Dinah, him say, singing my name, showing teeth as white as milk. Damien's mother used to live in the tenement yard too, till she go America and never come back. For a time, Damien was like my son. I make sure him get breakfast and go to school and wash him clothes and see that him do homework until Damien feel him turn into him own big man and want to make him own way in the world. Him stop needing me. Sometimes he can be so ungrateful. A sharp pain in my chest come and my eyes tear up for no other reason than I'm thinking of son. I imagine Son is Damien's height and complexion, and he would be mannersly too, saying pleases and thank you, because no son of mine could be without manners. Manners take you through the world, Mama say. After I wash, I put Mama in front of the TV, turn the knob so she can watch JBC when the station sign on, and ask Regina to check on her every 2 hours to see that she eat the callaloo and bully beef I leave. I tell Mama goodbye out of habit. She not going notice me not there. I put on the blue and white plaid uniform the brown skimmy. I walk down the road leading out of Lazarus Gardens, past the signs on the wall with a giant painting of the party leader in a green shirt and posters of our Member of Parliament, Wendell Sims, from the last election in 1980, still on the light poles. I pass 3 bus stops, bullet holes in the zinc that the buses don't come to anymore. An old greener newspaper page blowing in the street and catch my legs. The headline say, 1985, bloody year, 12 more dead in Kingston Massacre. I go all the way to the bus depot a mile away. I board the bus, giving the 50-cent fare to the conductor. The other women on board greet me with a glance or a nod. They also on their way to the big houses where we all work as helpers. They in all kind of uniform, green and white stripe, gray, plaid, black and white, and them sitting so stiff, like me. Mavis, you mean to say Mrs. Palmer still no pay you for the day's work you do on the holiday last month? Maud turned to the passenger beside her, a woman with folds of flesh that make her look like a melting candle. Mavis groaned. No worry, me find some US dollar under the dresser where me clean it last week that me go keep. But me have something for her though, man. The wretch don't know says her toothbrush me use clean the toilet. After the laughing died down, we sit in silence as the bus creak up the hill, puffing black smoke. We look out the window at the people on the street, men on their motorbike and bicycle, heads bobbing. Pitney with them, dusty barefoot, walking and playing in the street, chasing one another and screaming. Women with baskets on them head carrying produce to or from the market, hands akimbo, chatting and laughing with them friend. Mongrel dogs barking as the bus pass, dashing in and out like them want to run under the bus wheel. When my belly start growing, I realize I never touch a cup of Milo on the kitchen counter. Mr. Brown in him study when I reach. I only dust in there on weekdays when I'm at work because him don't like to be disturbed on the weekends. I hear him on the phone now. Yes, Raymond, brilliant idea. Through the crack in the door, I see him nodding as if the person on the phone can see him. We'll give him exposure at the firm. The partners and I will be happy to have him. Yes, he can start on Monday. He listens a moment and picks his teeth. No trouble at all. Since he's your son, I know he has the brains for it. After giving directions to the house and hanging up the phone, him nearly knocked me over when he burst out of the room. What's wrong with you, Dinah? Why are you loitering around here? He walked off before I could say, sorry, sir. Cindy, his voice boomed from the kitchen. You're my mama's old college roommate, Raymond. Mrs. Brown don't answer. You met him when we were in D.C. last year, and their son kept talking like he was some kind of rapper. Woman, don't you remember anything? Him sigh. Anyway, he and his family will be in Jamaica for the next 5 months. We've arranged for his son to do an internship at the firm before he starts at Princeton. I hear her, Unless it's spa dates or shopping trips, it's hard for her to pretend interest in most things, especially when they relate to Mr. Brown. She lived to go beach, play tennis, and swim in the pool. Mr. Brown always trying to get Mrs. Brown to pay him attention. That's why I'm always restless in him own house. Him don't have no peace. But Mrs. Brown not a bad woman. When I dust and break a figurine, she don't take money out of me pay. When Mama sick and I had to stay home 2 days, she don't short my money. When I come back though, the place did messy with plenty dirty plates in the sink, which people just so nasty. As for Mr. Brown, the one good thing me can say is him never once put man and woman argument to me and tried getting on my panty. That is more than me can say for some bosses me did have. And at least Mr. and Mrs. Brown don't have no little picnic me need to run behind and clean up after. One time I hear Mr. Brown tell Mrs. Brown this time them have picnic. Mrs. Brown says she have enough things she want to do and he must try to understand. Him say him been trying to understand for 5 years now and ask if she don't love him. She suck in her breath and say yes, so them can try. But I know she taking her breath control pills. She hide them in the bathroom behind her tampon box. One time when Mr. Brown bring up the baby argument again, I hear Mrs. Brown say, Christ, I'm just 26. I don't like when people take the Lord's name in vain. Mr. Brown is 2 times her age. I understand why Mr. Brown wants a child before him turn an old man. But Mrs. Brown gone like a picnic herself, with the vex-up silence, shouting, slamming doors, and fighting against Mr. Brown's rules. But it's not a bad job. Once me do my work good, them okay. Ray left Jamaica nearly 20 years ago, Mr. Brown saying now. The son is in college. They've rented a car and will be here in a few hours. make yourself presentable. I picture Mrs. Brown rolling her eyes and drumming her long blue fingernails on the granite countertop. What do you think they'll want to eat? She asked. Ackee and saltfish, barmy, oxtail and rice and peas. None of your orders, foolishness. Make sure Dinah finishes it by the time they get here. As usual, Mr. Brown talking about me as if I'm not there. Cho, again, me feel like a ghost, a uptown duppy fading into the wall. I look at the titles as I dust the books in the study. Commentaries by Sir William Blackstone, Modern Equity by Harold Granville Hansberry, Chitian Contracts. Dinah, it's Saturday. What you doing in the study? Me never hear him footsteps coming back. He sound vexer than usual. It's a big kitchen the Browns have. Black and white checkered tiles and a giant kitchen island. Pretty wooden cabinets. Them have a big white fridge and a stove where them get from America that me wipe down every morning and evening. Mr. Brown like things spotless. Him want to see him reflection, him say, on every surface. If him see little grease, it's a problem. I take out the saltfish from the pantry and put it to boil. Me sweep the whole kitchen first, then take out the mop and a bucket of warm water and wipe the floor. I wonder who is this family coming here today. I picking out the bones from the saltfish when I prick myself. A long black car climb up the driveway. Out of nowhere, I hear her saying, Mama chant plenty time. All time don't keep, all life will leak. What was locked will open up with the right key. It's like my memory closet creak open. Remember that today is Sun's 18th birthday. When I was 18, Leroy, my butler's boyfriend from all age school, wrestled with me one evening in the cane field. I still had all my shorts and panty, so it was pure shock when my period stopped. 9 months later, here comes a cotton hair boy Pickney. Hair picky picky like mine, skin smooth like Henry, head just as big. Face wide and beautiful. Me never see eyelashes long so yet. Lips so fine and full, and him little fingernails so pink and perfect. Long, long fingers like mama. A firm, strong nose like him know him going to be one important man. Mama nearly gets epileptic fixed when me tell her I'm pregnant. It's just 2 years I in the job with the Steels, an expat couple who work for the U.S. Embassy in Kingston. I never know what work Mr. Steele do at the embassy, but because of how everybody talked to him, I figure he must be a big shot. Them say him work for CIA, but I don't know if it's true. People say Steele was near them real name. It's a false identity, and them in Jamaica to span me, because Uncle Sam suspect we're going to get friendly with Fidel Castro in Cuba, and Americans never want any more communism in them backyard. Let him get you a visa, Mama used to say. But me never ask and the Steels never offer. Mr. Steele, white, pale like a full moon. Mrs. Steele was a black woman, but she much more light-skinned than Mama. Her scarves, them did smell like lavender, and she wear plenty bangles that looked like them about to drop off her hand. She used to dye her hair red. When it was growing out, her roots used to be black. The red hair usually dropped across her eyes, so it's not easy to see her small face. She let me borrow her books and I read them when I finish work early. That's poetry from Shelley, she did say, or Lord Byron. Me study poetry I never understand and talk it out loud. The recitals did please her. Me learned Keats to autumn. Season of mist and mellow fruitfulness. Close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run. That woman filling up your head with words, Mama say, and suck her teeth. You can eat them, full girl. I picture Mrs. Steele in a white apron serving some plump and juicy words on a plate and I laugh. Some evenings, Mrs. Steele tell me about the years them they live in Africa. There are postings in places I never hear about yet, but she show me on a map. She teach literature at universities there, she said, and I watch her eyes turn glass like she in a trance. Such beautiful people, she said, sweet little babies. And then she would get quiet. The Steeles never have any children. Though me used to hear Mrs. Steele telling her friends whenever them come over the house with them picnic how much she did want a baby of her own. Me surprised when they said they're having what Mrs. Steele called a baby shower for me. The party did dead. Between me acting like me did want be there, the two sweet drinks Mrs. Steele make, balloons losing air, the stale biscuits and a crush up happy delivery sign across the hallway. It was just a four-way, them, Mama and me. Mama did wear her only good dress, a stiff white-colored black shift that make her look like all the blood suck out of her face. The Steels did wear some loose trousers and floral tops, Mrs. Steele said them buy in Ethiopia. I was in distress since Leroy took up with a brownie named Shelley and moved to Montego Bay. Mama says she's not surprised. Leroy wouldn't want a black girl like me. During the baby shower, I still reeling with shock, sick from the baby or the breakup or the two of them together, but couldn't stop wriggling the chair. So you have no support, Mrs. Steele say. I never know how to answer, so I look over at Mommy drinking her Darjeeling tea. We could solve your problem, Mrs. Steele. Voice shaky, bad. She looked at her husband, who stand up beside the glass window. Mr. Steele, all of a sudden, looking hard on something outside. She rubbed her throat with her fingers and cocked her head to one side. Then she said, you've worked for us a long time, so you know I'd be a good mother. I always wanted my own child. I'm wondering what that have to do with me. Same time, she come out and spell it out plain. How about we adopt the baby when it's born? After all, you can't possibly look after it. I promise I'll take good care of it. I mean the child. Think what it would be like for them growing up in a big house like this. She moved her arms around the room like she's swimming in the middle of the ocean doing a backstroke. Mama cut bang in the saucer. She pinched and pushed out her lips till them looked grey. Think about it, Dinah. What mother doesn't want the best for her child? Mrs. Steele float to the window and hold on to her husband's hand. What can you give a baby that we can't? Her words sting me. I just was thinking I could give my child myself. Before I get to ask why that not good enough, Mama blurt out. What do you want with our baby? Don't you think it's puss pitney that people give out in a cardboard box? Now, Mr. Steele trying to calm down Mama while Mrs. Steele bury her face in his chest. I not going low it. Only thing that causing a rich is okay to do as you like. Mama eyes his fire. You're taking this the wrong way. We want to help, Mr. Steele say. You mean help yourself to our pitney? I don't remember all that happened next, except Mama storm out with me behind her. That night, while me rubbing my swollen belly, all I thinking upon is Leroy. My backache, the shadows from the home sweet home kerosene lamp dance like somebody with the devil inside them, and Mama snoring like a horse cat, clearing its throat beside me. Then I thinking about my son. Somehow me knew it was a boy, and picturing him here next to me in the bed. I could see him wiggling him arms and legs and looking round this tiny room. And for the first time, me feel like we in prison. And me know I had to get him out before the walls fall down on all of me.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please take a moment to follow CocoaPod and turn on your notifications so that you don't miss new stories when they drop. One last thing. Caribbean stories and Caribbean writers need our help. Show your support by sharing and downloading this podcast as far and as widely as you can. Buy their books, support independent bookshops, and request Caribbean titles from your local libraries. Remember that a rising tide lifts all ships. Give thanks. For more Caribbean storytelling goodness, follow CocoaPod and BCLF Always Lit on all major podcast platforms.